Today on Wings, the 2017 Women's March, Voices from the Americas.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
I need to be short, okay? Dear friends, sisters and brothers, all of you who are before me today and in 370 marches in every state in this country and on six continents, and those who will be communing with us at 1 p.m., in a silent minute for equality in offices, in kitchens, in factories, in prisons, all over the world. I thank each of you, and I especially want to thank the hardworking visionary organizers of this woman-led inclusive march, one of whom managed to give birth while she was organizing this march. Who else can say that? Thank you for understanding that sometimes we must put our bodies where our beliefs are. Sometimes pressing send is not enough.
That was Gloria Steinem on January 21st, 2017. Half a million people marched in the Women's March on Washington, D.C. last year. There were also 673 sister marches that took place around the globe, with an estimated total number of around 5 million people. It's been hailed as the largest global gathering for human rights and social justice in history. This week, we present Wings reporters in Bogota, Colombia, and Vancouver, British Columbia. But first, we travel back to New York in early January 2017 with Fran Luck of the Joy of Resistance in those days just before the march.
Well, with the Trump administration less than 2 weeks away, women and many other people are getting into full resistance mode. Why are they resisting? There are plans to take away the rights that people have fought for decades, for generations. Women stand to lose the right of abortion, legal abortion, affordable birth control, entitlements that we as the poorest segment depend on, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, our health care, a climate of hate where racists and misogynists are feeling free to act out with thousands of incidents already reported, the very real possibility of fascism. So we are going to be talking tonight about some major resistances that are coming up around the inauguration. The first one is the Women's March on Washington on January 21st with local actions in a lot of cities. And as a special treat and to get us in the mood to resist, we have Judy Gorman here live in the studio, and she's going to be singing us resistance songs as we go along.
I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. There's a world that's so much better, we could make it sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world in these times of toil and trouble, sometimes lonesome, sometimes blue. But the vision of a new world brightens all our hopes anew.
I want to introduce to you our associate producer for this evening, Farah Diaz-Tello. Farah Diaz-Tello is a reproductive justice activist attorney. She has been the senior counsel for National Advocates for Pregnant Women, and she is currently serving with the self-induced abortion legal team, if I've got that right. Good evening, Farah.
Hi, glad to be here.
So happy to have you. So why don't you just start out? We've got your guest on the line, and tell us about the Women's March on Washington.
We're always asking when people are going to be moved to take to the streets. Well, it's happening now. We're very fortunate to have a special guest today. We have Teresa Shook joining us on the line from Hawaii. Teresa is the one who started it all, who created the initial group that went viral on Facebook. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you very much.
So, first of all, how did this get started, and did you ever expect that it could become this big?
I never expected it. I hoped so in my heart of hearts, but I'm just overwhelmed and overjoyed that it actually came to be.
Now, we've heard criticism from the right that people protesting Trump's election should get over it, or worse, that protests aren't productive. What's this march trying to accomplish?
Actually, we're not calling it a protest, although everyone is free to march for their own personal reasons. So one of our hashtags is hashtag Why I March, because it's an inclusive march in solidarity, standing up to protect the rights we have because of the rhetoric of this administration, of the election process. We saw the bigotry and the hatred and the denigration of women and people of color. And so we're standing in solidarity to show that those aren't our values and we will not tolerate losing ground. So that it's us coming together to make a stand to say we're watching, we're vigilant, we're here, and we're not going to let you take those rights away.
That's here, funny. Here.
Yeah, we are applauding you. So tell us.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about how it came together online, because this is really a phenomenon that is very peculiar to the digital age, and I'd love to share that with our listeners.
Okay. So I got up I'm 5 hours behind everyone, and so I got up the next day knowing that he had won, feeling really depressed and discouraged, and thinking, what happened? How could this happen? And it really woke me up. Probably I was a little too apathetic before that. And so I got on this Facebook group, and I started chatting with women. And a lot of women were there saying the same thing. What happened? How can this be? This is not who we are. And that was my primary feeling, was this is not who we are as a nation. This is not our values. And so everyone is feeling helpless and hopeless. So when I feel that way, I want to do something. So then I got this idea to march, because in the past, marching has brought about change. When it's in mass, when there's a lot of people. So I said, I think we should march. And it just kept scrolling by in the comments because everyone is commenting. And I just kept saying it in different ways. We should march in D.C. on the day after the election. Say, welcome to your first day of office. And finally, one woman said, her name was Jamie. She said, I'm in. And then I went off, created a Facebook event, made it private because we were trying to keep out trolls at that time, and went back on, said, okay, I've created it. I'm inviting some of you. You can invite friends, and went to bed with about 40 women coming and woke up to more than 10,000 coming and 10,000 interested.
That's amazing. That is truly incredible.
It was amazing. I woke up, I'm having my coffee, I opened my Facebook, and I was flooded with messages of support and volunteering, wanting to volunteer the time to help make it happen, and also thousands of friend requests, because at that point, no one could get an invitation unless no one could come unless they were invited.
So, Teresa, we're going to have to wrap up, but what's one thing that you would like listeners to take away about this march and why they should be a part of it?
first of all, once you show up together and your shoulders to shoulder, you feel responsible for those people that you're with, and that's what we're there for, standing up for each other. So we're responsible for one another. That's one thing. And the other thing is take this energy home to where you live, and when Congress tries to do something you don't like, get on the phone. Send an email. It's going to be each individual's job to be vigilant.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your joining us. So one of the issues that arose early on in the planning of this march was race. The march, at least in outward perception, was organized by a group of white women, and the initial name, the Million Women March, echoed the Million Women March in Philadelphia, which was convened by black women. Centering communities of color is key to the survival of our democracy, and nowhere is that more clear than in the results of the election. As we know, 53%, more than half of white women, voted for Trump, and this is compared to black women, 94% of whom voted for Clinton, and according to the Latino Decisions poll, 86% of Latinas voted for Clinton. Fortunately, the National Organizing Board is now comprised mostly of women of color, including Tamika Mallory, Linda Sarsour, and Carmen Perez, who are longtime racial justice and anti-police violence activists. This echoes shifts from the last major feminist march, the 2004 March for Women's Lives, where nearly 1.2 million people came to Washington to rally for reproductive rights, health, and justice. This was at the urging of leaders of the reproductive justice movement that the name and the frame shifted from the March for Choice to the March for Women's Lives. And what made that march so successful was the key decision to take the vision and leadership of women of color seriously. So here are some of the women who will be marching on January 21st.
Hi, I'm Meredith Knight from Austin, Texas. I'm marching because this election was a profound shock to me. And I found myself talking a lot about lack of engagement and then realized, hey, you know, I'm not really that engaged myself. There's just so much work to be done to better people's lives. And I grew up thinking that was the goal of government. And I think that women are primed to do that work. You know, we lead the majority of households in this country, and I think it's time we got the representation in government that we deserve. And it's not like we just care about abortion and education. We care about jobs and national security and judicial reform and healthcare and the environment. And there are just so many problems to conquer. And it's become completely obvious to me that if we want real change and politics that work for us, then we have to do it ourselves. And that's what I want. I don't want to drain the swamp. I want to flood it with new ideas and new people and new passions. And I think women are key to that. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Neela Ghoshal, and I'm calling from Nairobi, Kenya, to let you know that here in Nairobi, we are also organizing a sister march in solidarity with the Women's March on Washington. The group of us who are organizing are both progressive Americans living in Kenya, as well as Kenyans and others living here who understand that women's rights are human rights, that these rights are interconnected all around the world. And we are very concerned about the impact that changes in U.S. policy will have on reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, and other rights that affect women, not just in the U.S., but all around the world, including here in Kenya. So we're going to be marching to send a clear message that this is a global struggle, and we look forward to continuing to collaborate with women in the U.S. and around the world.
Hi, I'm Raquel, and I'm marching in Arizona because this is our time. Women need to raise their voices so girls can have choices.
For children to be safe, they must be wanted. For women to be whole, we must be free. There are women put in prisons, prisons put in women, but our history need not be our destiny, and we won't back up, no, we won't bow down. Standing by the water like that tree and ever moving like the water, so will we march for women's lives, for women to be free. Safe in our own bodies, free to give birth forth when and if we choose. Church and state may legislate out of fear and out of hate, but it's women, men, and children who will lose. Oh no, we won't back up, and we won't bow down. We're standing by the water like that tree and devil moving like the water. So will we march for women's lives, for women to be free.
You're listening to Wings, looking back at the 2017 Women's Marches in the Americas. From Fran Luck of the Joy of Resistance in New York and Judy Gorman's Song of Resistance, we travel south to Bogota, Colombia, where Wings reporter Claudia Duque was at the march interviewing protesters. This small protest drew both Colombian and American marchers, voicing many of the same concerns heard round the world.
Now it is equal! Now it is equal! Now.
My name's Laura. I am Colombian, and I'm here because on the one hand, I want to support women's rights, their human rights, which means basically it's unbelievable to me as a Colombian that the president of one of the world's most powerful countries can have the right and assume a presidency like that, to say that he can go grab women's pussies, who has had lots of sexual harassment denunciations, who has talked about my communities as a Latina, and who has used their work, their labor, and cannot deny that he's needed those communities, and wants and talks so disrespectfully about every one of us. I'm in solidarity with that, and I cannot allow that there's a figure who represents such levels of power and who will affect my communities too. So today I'm here to say that we are a bunch of pussies united against Trump, and we are biting back.
My name is Isabel Merel. I'm here because my mom is a teacher at Colegio Nueva Granada in Bogota.
And why are you joining this protest against Donald Trump?
Because he doesn't respect women, and being a young woman that is, you know, hoping to do a lot in my life, I don't want to support someone that is so disrespectful and so prejudiced against women.
My name is Marcy Adams, and I'm here with my daughter. I think it's important to introduce her to the idea of you protest something that goes against your beliefs and your rights. And we're worried about the next 4 years in the U.S. and the movement that has been progressively moving forward in terms of social justice, and environment is another piece that we're concerned about. Education, I'm a teacher, and we're moving back to the States in June. So it's really a social justice issue that we're supporting here.
My name is Noah, and I'm here because I want to make the world a better place, and for in the future, everybody to have equal rights.
How old are you?
10 years old.
And why are you in Colombia right now?
To learn a new language and culture, and to meet new people.
Okay, my name is Natalie, and I'm here to support women's rights around the world and protest against the election of Donald Trump and everything that means for the U.S., which is my country. It feels pretty fascist to me. I'm very scared of what the direction that our country is going to go in and the implications of it for the entire world.
That was Bogota, Colombia. Next, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. and Wings reporter Suzette Cullen.
So here we are at the old train station in Vancouver. Women are simply gathering. We rode a rapid transit down here with full of women with pink hats on. It was just a wonderful experience.
First of all, I'd like to say that it is a deep, deep honor to be here on the unceded, unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. We acknowledge that it's unceded. We are working with our hosts on a very long journey, which probably has no end, called reconciliation. And we're proud to be doing that. And it is an honor to be welcomed here to live, work, and play on this beautiful territory, especially when it's raining, because it makes it very fertile land. So, what are we here for today? Well, yes, I'm a dual citizen. Yes, I voted. And when I woke up a couple of months ago, feeling about as low as I remember feeling in a very long time, I didn't know where to start. I was so angry, and I was so scared, and I was so confused by what had happened that it took me a while to start breathing. But once I started breathing again, I started thinking, I have to do something. I must do something. What do I do? So we started looking around at things that could be done. Yesterday, what possibly could have been one of the lowest days became one of my highest days as I started watching social media. The airplanes, did y'all see the videos of people on airplanes flying into DC? Amazing. The buses, the photographs of full buses from around North America and in fact around the world of people wearing those pink hats. If I knitted, I'd have one. And coming together, and all of a sudden I started to think, okay, not only am I breathing, we're doing, we're acting. So what are we gonna do here in Vancouver? Well, continue to make your voices heard. There are many, many ways to do that. But we also need to take action. And what do we do when we work on campaigns? Go knock doors. Go knock doors. Find a campaign and make sure everybody you know is involved in it. And if there's a campaign that you think should exist and doesn't yet, start it. I heard it here several times today. We should do this. We should do that at the march. And the answer every time was, then do it. Then do it. You own this. You own this.
I just feel like I want to have this opportunity to share specifically for all the men that are here today. So I consider myself as somebody who loves my culture. It loves a lot of my traditions of my people and my ancestors. I believe culture saves lives. My culture will save the lives of our young people if given access to it. But one of the things that I've had to take the time to learn, and I had to take the time to learn it because I was, depending on how you want to phrase it, called out or called in to think about things that I never thought about before. And one of the things that I hear often, especially from Indigenous men, that I think my personal opinion needs a little bit of correcting. This society treats women in such a despicable way, in my opinion. And there's so many ways that I've become aware of that now. And I don't think that we as men need to do something about it because women are our sisters or our daughters or our mothers or life givers. That's not the reason I think that we need to care about the way that this society is treating women. Those aren't the reasons. The reasons, in my opinion, that men need to start caring and doing something about the way this society treats women is because women are human beings.
When you go to bed at night, it is not enough to think, I have hurt no one today. Today I have not caused any harm. Today I was not racist. That is not enough. Each of you needs to be working towards dismantling those systems of oppression. Too many people have benefited off the backs of marginalized people. And that needs to change. So by putting women at the forefront and returning us to where we need to be in our communities, things will change. So let's move forward, not slot. And let's make this a better world.
So I'm going to finish with two quotes before I go to the proclamation. The first quote is from my late friend, Jack Layton. Love is better than anger, and hope is better than fear. I'm angry, I'm scared. These are important quotes. And when I find myself feeling anxious, I've been looking to those quotes and finding my core and finding my peaceful place. And then once I found that peaceful place, I kind of want to ratchet it back up again. So I'm going to quote my favorite recent president and say, fired up, ready to go. And now I have the proclamation from the mayor. The proclamation for Canadian Women's March on Washington Day. Whereas thousands of people are attending the Women's March on Washington, D.C. on Saturday, January 21st, 2017, to support those who have been the targets of hatred and discrimination. And whereas the Canadian Women's March on Washington is a demonstration of solidarity happening in more than 23 cities across Canada, joining with millions around the world to say loud and clear that discrimination and oppression will not be tolerated. And whereas the City of Vancouver is committed to celebrating our diversity and representing our shared values of equality and respect, and whereas, this is a long one, but it's a good one, we acknowledge that recent events, both outside our borders and within our own neighborhoods, have left many of our friends, families, and fellow citizens in a vulnerable state. While their lived experiences are a testament to their courage and resiliency, we recognize that hate can only be overcome when we work together and empower each other's voices. And whereas the Canadian Women's March on Washington has received an outpouring of support across Canada, bringing together communities and organizations to stand in solidarity against discrimination, now therefore I, on behalf of Gregor Robertson, Mayor of the City of Vancouver, do hereby proclaim Saturday, January the 21st, 2017, as Canadian Women's March on Washington Day in the City of Vancouver.
Vancouver's Mayor's Proclamation, with reporting by Suzette Cullen for Wings. One of the many hopes, wishes, and dreams expressed on January 21st, 2017 was that this is not just a protest, but the start of a movement. Since then, unprecedented numbers of women have registered to run in local and state elections. And women of color were credited with voting in a Democrat for the first time in decades in Alabama. The 2018 Women's March agenda is hashtag power to the polls. Our thanks to Fran Luck of The Joy of Resistance, WBAI New York, and our sister reporters Claudia Duque in Bogota, Colombia, and Suzette Cullen in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I'm Mindy Rann in Amsterdam for Wings.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our new webpage, wingsradio.org. We also post links daily at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thank you to all our supporters, including your community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.